It's time to talk a little hockey. And to do that, we welcome in Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Doing well, thank you. How are you these days?
Hanging out. A little bit of free time here, but enjoying that a little bit. But ready to go tonight for the Stanley Cup Finals, so it should be a good one.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about the finals in a little bit. But first, let's talk Bruins and what's going on with them. The recent news, the re-signing of Trent Frederick, was that a good deal for the team?
Yeah, it's a good deal. It also kind of gives you, I think, a peek into what their plans are for both their fourth line and their expansion draft. I don't think they make this signing without Frederick factoring into their plans in terms of the expansion draft. We'll see what they can do there. There's a number of different things. Like, for example, they could decide not to qualify Nick Ritchie, making him an unrestricted free agent, which teams will not likely take, and they could say, hey, we want you back, but we're going to do this so we can maximize our list. But it also just, I think this spells the end for Sean Corrali as well in terms of his Bruins tenure. The identity of that fourth line is going to be, I think, led by Frederick and what he can do as an agitator and a physical presence. So we'll see, but I like that value. I mean, it's $1 million, right, but it's basically a $75,000 raise, I think, from what he was making last year. So I think it's a worthwhile deal for the Bruins, and it gives you a peek into what they're thinking moving forward.
You wrote about the Bruins front office and their belief that they've got a strong enough nucleus that they can make another run at the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's the hope from Bergeron and Marchand, and I think some of the guys in the front office as well, is that they believe if they get their guys this offseason, which is a left-shot defenseman who can play about 20 minutes a night, probably opposite Brandon Carlo. Probably some more size on the back end as well, maybe a third-line scorer to put with Charlie Coyle as well, depending on what happens with Hall and Krejci. So they have some plans. It's about getting those guys, right? But I think ultimately they look around the league, they see the flat cap being what it is. They look at their cap situation. I believe they have the fourth most cap space in the NHL entering this offseason, which is a ridiculous number for them given their core. So they look at it and say they can make some moves. What moves are those? You know, is that Alec Martinez from the Vegas Golden Knights most recently? He's a great left-shot defenseman, could be that guy. I'm curious what the term would be on that contract. But they have a list that they're formulating right now of guys that they think could help them and maybe extend their window another year or two.
Which potential Bruins are guys that could be moved to improve the team?
I would say that Jake DeBrusk is probably one of those guys. Listening to his end-of-the-year press conference, it was a rough year for him. And I think the thing that's concerning with DeBrusk is he hears the noise, right? He hears the noise a little bit too much, I think, for their liking. He was talking about his haters. He was talking about dealing with negativity and how that affected him mentally. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruin said to him, hey, you know, we want you to talk to somebody to sort of sort this out. We want you to tune this out and get your head on straight. But also, you look at his real money due. I believe it's almost $5 million. His cap is lower than that, but the real money due is substantial. And you have to wonder if the Bruins want to pay that, given what he gave them this past year. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. It seems like there needs to be some repair in terms of the relationship between the coaching staff and DeBrusk. And we're going to have to see if he gets that opportunity. But, I mean, he's probably their best trade chip. The other problem with that, though, is that his value is probably at an all-time low right now.
As you look at the recently concluded season, Ty, who is one guy on this Bruins team who really elevated their stock perhaps more than anybody else?
I would say that on the back end, Connor Clifton had a great finish to his year. I thought he was great after the deadline. He was one of their better guys in the postseason. I know that's not really saying much given their defensive struggles, but I thought that he was given some tough assignments and he held his own most of the time. More so in the Washington series and the New York series, but again, I thought that his stock definitely improved after what you saw last year where he kind of fell out of frame for a little while, both last year and early this year. So I thought he really had a great bounce back year. I would also say that looking up front, I thought that it was a great finish for Craig Smith as well, right? He didn't come out of the gates flying, but you saw what he could do when paired with a good line, good centerman as well. So I would say those two really helped their stock. We're going to have to wait and see if Clifton is is still with the Bruins as well. I mean, this is a guy that if I were the Kraken, I would look at Clifton and say I want him. He's a right-shot defenseman who can put the left side as well. He has playoff experience. He can play off. He can play a physical game as well as chip in offensively. So that might be a guy that is not here next year, which would be a bummer given the way that his stock could improve this year.
Ty Anderson from the Sports Hub with us here on Downtown. With the draft a little more than a few weeks away, do they have some priorities? What's the team looking for?
In the draft, I would say that you need another, I would say, either a high-impact forward who projects to be in the NHL in the next couple of years, or a defenseman, preferably a left-shot defenseman, who can project as a top-four guy. This is their highest pick since Lakanainen in 2017, and we still haven't really seen him emerge. But I would say that you look at their picks recently, right, between Beecher, Frederick. You know, McAvoy's kind of the only one who's really stepped up really quickly and been an impact guy. So you want one of those players, right? I think especially looking at this window here with Bergeron and Krejci and assuming Rask is back for another year or two. I mean, these guys are in their mid-30s, right? And so you want to try to bring someone in who can help them while they're still effective and still, you know, top six or mid-level NHL talent. So that'd be my focus as far as that. So I would say you want to look for either a high-impact wing or a defenseman who you project to be ready in the next 2 years.
Stanley Cup Finals get underway tonight. Obviously, it's tough for Bruins fans to even think about cheering for the Montreal Canadiens, but there's not a lot of love there for the Tampa Bay Lightning either. So what does the responsible Bruins fan do?
You know, I still say that you go to Tampa because I don't see how you can ever wrap your head around rooting for Montreal. I just can't see it personally as a Bruins fan. I wouldn't root for Montreal. I can't root for Montreal. I think that the best thing that Bruins fans can do while they misery watch their Stanley Cup final is watching it with the idea that you can learn something or the Bruins can learn something, right? You look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Their defense is huge. They don't have a single skater under 6'1" on their back end. That's a model the Bruins should try to emulate if they can. And then you look at Montreal, right? Montreal went out and they got Josh Anderson. They got Tyler Toffoli. They signed Corey Perry late in the offseason. They made moves. They didn't say, okay, well, we're mentioned in the breath here. That's enough for us. They went out and they made moves. So I think that if you're the Bruins, you can look at those two teams and say, we want to copy some of what they did, but we don't have to like it. We don't have to root for it, but we can watch it and say, okay, well, I learned this from this team. So that's how I'm looking at it. But also, the Lightning, if they win, cap hell is coming for them in some fashion. They're already over the cap for next year. So maybe it's their last hurrah, which makes it a little bit easier for you to root for them versus Montreal.
As you look at the two teams, who's got the advantage going in?
I go Tampa Bay. I mean, this team is just a machine. I watch them and I'm fascinated. I mean, they can win games 1-0. Vasilevskiy's absolutely incredible in that. They can also win games 5-4 based on their offensive talent. Braden Point is, they talk about Stamkos and Kucherov, but Braden Point has been their best player in the postseason for, I think, 4 years in a row now. He's just been phenomenal. So I think Tampa Bay still has the edge significantly over Montreal. It's going to be tougher for the Habs to get those kind of cheap goals where they just look to hit a guy in a breakaway and off he goes. It's going to be harder against this team, given what I mentioned with the bigger defense and also the goaltending with Vasilevskiy. So we're going to have to see. This is going to be a big test for Montreal, obviously. But in terms of their strategy and how they want to win games, Tampa might be their worst team that they've faced in terms of playing to their strengths here.
Well, I thought even though they came up short, Barry Trotz did a tremendous coaching job in the postseason this year. Does either team have a coaching advantage?
You know, I would say that Cooper's style, I've criticized it at times because it feels like it's a little bit too relaxed. But this is a good spot for him, right? I think that he knows how to settle his guys down. I think having gotten the monkey off their back and winning a Stanley Cup last year really helped him in terms of his approach and how he handles himself behind the bench. So I would say that the Lightning definitely have that advantage as well, especially, I mean, this is a big spot here. You know, the Habs are without their head coach right now because of the COVID protocols. So Luke Richardson is their head coach, their interim head coach, basically. So it's between him and and Alex Burrows. So it's an inexperienced staff, which should favor Cooper as well, I would say, going into this series.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, as always, appreciate it. Good talking with you this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Awesome. Can't wait. Thanks for having me, Rich.
Talking Bruins and Stanley Cup Finals with Ty.